Welcome to Daily in the Word.
West Coast Baptist College is a growing, dynamic institution committed to training laborers for the Lord's harvest. Thank you for your prayers and support for our students and our vision to train up a new generation of faithful, servant-hearted spiritual leaders. To find out more about West Coast Baptist College or to be a part of our vision, visit wcbc.edu or call toll-free 888-694-9222. West Coast Baptist College, training laborers for His harvest.
There's a lot of things that cry out for our attention during the Christmas season, but you know what deserves your attention the most? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so today on Daily in the Word, we want to call your attention to the attributes of Jesus Christ. That's next with Dr. Paul Chapman. For many, the Christmas season is about celebrations. For many, it's about materialism and gift giving or receiving. For many, it's about getting together with friends and family and sharing memories. For others, it's about discouragement and loneliness. But you know what the Christmas season is really supposed to be about? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so we welcome you to today's edition of Daily in the Word, where together for the next few moments, we want to give our attention to the attributes of Christ. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program teaches the Word of God through the preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And our series through Christmas is The Attributes of Christ. We hope today's message will draw your heart closer to the Lord Jesus. Who was it that was born and laid in that manger over 2,000 years ago? We're going to discover that today. I want to remind you to visit us at dailyintheword.org, and all during the month of December, our gift to you is the Christmas CD, the solo piano CD, A Quiet Christmas with Christ. We'd love to send that to you. It's our gift when you partner with us this month for any amount. When you partner with us and help us cover the cost of airtime across the country, we want to send you this gift, and we know that you'll enjoy it. But right now, here's Dr. Paul Chapel to introduce today's message.
Jesus Christ is referred to in the New Testament as our great God and Savior. And as we consider His greatness this month in particular, we're especially mindful that Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, was holy in all of His attributes. Not merely in Bethlehem's manger, but throughout His life He was tempted in all points, yet never sinned. Let's consider His holiness today as we turn to John chapter 2, and learn more of our Savior.
We live in a day when men want to choose the kind of God they want to serve. It's as if men want to define God in their own terms and then say, that's what I think God is, and so that's how God is, so now I can live the way I want to live. You might call it an accommodating theology. In other words, men will accommodate their concept of God to the way they want to live. Now, folks, we're not here today to get God down to our level or down to our opinion. We're here today to learn how to conform to His image. We're here today to understand who He is and how He wants us to live in this world. For example, the more liberal-minded today, and many of those are minds without an understanding of Christ, want a loving, sweet God, but not a holy, righteous God. And they want God to accommodate their lifestyles, for example. We have many in this state today and many clergy today who in California are saying that marriage can be between a man and a man when God in His righteous word has revealed that God's plan is that a man and woman would come together in marriage and that they would honor the Lord. That's the plan of a holy and righteous God. Now, God is loving and He loves all people, but He is not going to condone sinful behavior that is contrary to His word. And we must understand, I think Spurgeon years ago struck the balance when he said it this way, God, who is love, is first of all light. Therefore, any thought of him being soft or indulgent towards sin must be put away. What we're going to learn the next 6 weeks, in essence, is the balancing of the holy attributes of our God. And we start today with the attribute of his holiness. And we learn that Jesus Christ was fully God in holiness. Now, how many of you would agree with me this morning that at the crux of the matter when it comes to understanding Christ is the teaching concerning his deity? That is, that when we speak of Jesus Christ, we speak of him as God in the flesh. We speak of him as the one who came down as the Son of God. And in your notes this morning, I've given you just very quickly some bullet point scriptures and identifiers concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. These are the principles that set us apart from many of the false religions of this day. For example, Jesus Christ is called God in the scriptures. Hebrews 1 and verse 8, the Father refers to him that way. He is referred to in Titus 2:13 as our great God. He is referred to as the mighty God, Isaiah 9:6. He is referred to as the I Am, the first and the last, the Lord of lords, the Alpha and Omega. He exists in the form of God, Philippians 2 and verse 6. He is the creator, John 1 and verse 3. In Mark 2 and verse 7, he forgives sin. By the way, only God can forgive sin. And Jesus forgave sin. Why? Because he was God. He raised the dead. By the way, only God can do that. Only God has power over the dead. But Jesus did this. Why? Because he is God. He received worship. Doubting Thomas finally said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus didn't say, "Thomas, don't call me God." Jesus received that ascription. Why? Because he was and is eternal God. The biblical evidence leads one to only one possible conclusion, and that is that Jesus Christ is God. And so, in the next 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to study the attributes of Christ, which show us that he is God, that we might understand him high and lifted up as God. And oh, how we understand this is a great necessity today, in this day of pluralism, in this day when teachers at the Antelope Valley College or other such institutions would teach that all roads lead to the same place and all religions are just about the same. We must step aside and say with grateful hearts that we serve the risen Savior, who never sinned, who raised the dead, the one who is God in the flesh. We are here to lift him up this morning. Now, the world and the media spend a lot of time tearing him down, but we're here to lift him up and understand more about him today. Well, as we understand the life and ministry of Jesus this morning, we see in John chapter 2, just after his first earthly miracle, turning the water into wine, the Bible records that he and his mother are traveling through Capernaum and then up to Jerusalem. And as Jesus comes to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us it is the Passover time. This was the time established by God to remind his people of the day in which he delivered them from Egypt. And you remember the story. They were to place the blood on the doorpost. And God said, when the death angel comes through Egypt land, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Just like those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ, his blood has cleansed us from our unrighteousness, and that's why we're forgiven today. The Passover was a picture of God's redemption. And every year they would come together to celebrate the great day of redemption that God had given to them. Now picture, if you would, in your mind, the Lord Jesus Christ just beginning his earthly ministry. May I say it this way? He's a long way from home. Heaven's his home. Aren't you glad he came down to this earth? And picture, if you will, the Lord Jesus is going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to go into the temple. He has great anticipation for the fact that while he is here on this earth and far away from home, he was about to go to a place that would remind him of home, a place that was designed to elevate the attributes of his Father, a place that was designed to be holy and a place of worship where all of the children of Israel could remember God. And Jesus is going to go there. And what a great day this should have been. But I want you to notice, as we read in the text, the Bible says in verse number 14, "And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting." I want you to see, if you would, the assessment of the Lord. The assessment of the Lord. He's coming into the temple, and he's making, first of all, a physical assessment. Now, please make note in your mind that the Lord assesses our place of worship, and he assesses our heart, which is the earthly temple, our body, and that he is not only omniscient or all-knowing, but that he is omnipresent. Do you understand that the Lord is always making assessment of our lives and of our way of worship and of our hearts for him? And so he comes into Jerusalem and then into the temple, and now he begins to make this assessment. And I think you can get a little picture from the model that we have here. This is a model in Jerusalem. I've never seen it myself. Brother Rick Houck took the picture when he was there years ago. But here's a model of the temple. And as you look at this particular model, we see that the outer area around the temple was about 750 feet square. It was a place where the children of Israel, of course, would come, the temple in the back with the Holy of Holies. To the side, you see the court of the Gentiles. And this particular court was a place where non-Jews could come. Many times it was a place where preparation for worship was made. Upon the arrival of Jesus Christ to this place, Jerusalem would have been teeming with Jewish pilgrims from all over the Roman world coming in to celebrate the Passover. And this feast, which was established to remind them of their deliverance by God. As they would come into the particular court of the Gentiles, they would no doubt be a large crowd there on this particular occasion. Looking from the Mount of Olives, they would perhaps come in and see directly towards the temple itself, and past the holy furniture, one would go as a priest, and then only the high priest into the Holy of Holies. This entire compound, if you will, this entire complex was considered holy as unto the Lord. And I'm sure that as Jesus came and made his physical assessment, there was the beauty of the temple, no doubt, at first. But suddenly, he was distracted by the money changers and those that were selling their wares. And all of a sudden, his heart was no doubt grieved and angered with a righteous indignation because of what was going on in there. And that leads us to this second thought, his spiritual assessment. Notice, if you would, the spiritual assessment of the Lord. You see, Jesus would see all of the activity that we read about a moment ago. He would see the oxen and the sheep and the doves and the money changers bartering and selling and charging interest and charging exorbitant prices for things. And Jesus saw this, and he saw the purpose of the temple was being lost. The tragedy is that business was being carried on in the court of the Gentiles in the temple, the place where the Jews should have been meeting Gentiles and telling them about the one true God so that they could proselytize into the Jewish faith. And instead of seeing that, he saw them simply interested in making money. The Bible says in Luke 19, on Jesus' second visit, in verse 45, and he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and bought them that and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And his spiritual concern was over two primary areas. Number one, he saw materialism there. And the temple was being desecrated by greed. And rather than this heart of worship, rather than entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, as they would see God high and lifted up, people were going there just to make a few bucks. They were going there just to charge some interest. They had forgotten what it was all about. The merchants were selling the animals required for sacrifice at greatly inflated prices. Now you understand, those who came to worship were required to come and bring perhaps a lamb for sacrifice. It was God's way going way back to the book of Genesis when Abel provided a sacrifice that pleased God. It was the blood sacrifice. And now the worshipers would come and they would bring an animal for sacrifice, or they would purchase that animal from those in the court of the Gentiles. It was not wrong that this was being made available. What was wrong was the focus was being lost on business rather than on sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say, it's not wrong to come to church and incidentally tell someone someone about your favorite sports team, or incidentally tell someone about some business you're involved in. But may I say to you this morning, the primary focus when we come to this place is that we might see Jesus high and lifted up. Amen. That's why we're here at church. You can hear about sports and business and all these other things throughout the week. But folks, we've got to come in here and get a glimpse of the Lord every week, you see. And so the materialism was a grief to the Lord, and the money changing was a grief. And the chief priests apparently were allowing this. The money changers were also a necessary service. People were coming in from all over the Roman world, and they would need to change money into the Jewish money in order, which by the way had a higher silver value, in order that they might pay the tithe on the Passover. It was always God's plan, whenever God's people came to worship, that they would come as a part of their worship, ready to give to God. That's not something new that Baptists invented in 1982. God's people have always had a place for worship, and they've always participated, amongst other ways, in their giving. Exodus 30:13 says, "This they shall give everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary, an offering. Half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord." So on the Passover feast, those men that were 20 years and above would come and they would bring their offering to the Lord. And so they would go to the money changers. But here's the problem. The money changers, according to Josephus and other historians, were charging anywhere from 12 to 15% interest. And it was becoming a bazaar. It was becoming a business moment. It had nothing to do with honoring God. And Jesus saw it all, and it sickened him. And I want you to know, friend, we've got to guard our hearts. And I make no apology at this church for having conservative, Christ-honoring music and Bible-centered messages and doing our best to keep the focus on the preaching and teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, sometimes you can get so lost in the activities you never see Jesus Christ. And as Jesus came into the temple, I think of that song I've heard sung, "I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before." Now, Jesus has been there, but I would imagine going into the temple, realizing the tabernacle was made after the pattern of the tabernacle in heaven, realizing that the dimensions for this place, that the description of this place was given by his Father, no doubt longing to draw in a way of fellowship closer to his Father. And he comes into this special place, and instead of drawing closer, he's discouraged. Hey, let's not ever be the kind of church where when people from the Antelope Valley come in here wanting to get a little closer to God, wanting to know what it means maybe to be saved, wanting to know more about God, that all they hear is church members in the foyer talking about the Raiders or the 49ers or talking about their latest thing they're selling or doing. May this always be the place where people can come and hear the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Now that's the assessment of Jesus. Notice secondly, the action of our Lord. Our Lord in righteous anger intervenes. A lot of people don't understand this part of Jesus, but this is the same Jesus who said, "Turn the other cheek." This action of our Lord, realizing the purity of the temple worship was now being diluted, was an action of, first of all, confrontation. Notice the Bible says, "He made a scourge of small cords and drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise." Oh, he made a scourge out of these cords, and he begins to drive people out of his temple, and in righteous indignation, he is driving out, first of all, the cheaters. Annas the high priest had allowed people to be cheated. They were charging and overcharging for the sacrificial animals. And then he threw out those money changers who were making money and exorbitantly so, charging interest. And he sends them away. And all of this was a discouragement to the people. And by the way, God wants his people to see him and to have worship in the purest form. And so Jesus drives them out. But then notice the admonition he gives to them in verse 16. Take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. A very deliberate command. He says, get this stuff out of here. Jeremiah 7 and verse 11. In this house which is called by my name, is it become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Now, let's understand a very basic principle. That is that God is a holy God. His worship is to be done in holiness and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was angry with the distractions to their worship. And I want you to recognize that God in His holiness has, since the beginning of time, called His children to set aside distractions of worship and set aside the sins and weights that do so easily beset us, so that we can look to Him and run the race that is set before us, so that we could consider Christ. He says, anything that's hindering your view of me, I want it taken away. Psalm 1, the Bible says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Hey, God says, if you've got some friends that are scorning and pulling you down, don't sit with them. A lot of times young people say, well, you know, I just try to be friends with everybody. That's not the Bible command to you. The Bible command is, if there's someone scorning what is right, then don't sit in the seat of the scornful. God says, if there's something going on in the temple that's distracting, I want it removed. If there's something going on in your life that's distracting, I want it removed. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, notice this, holiness in the fear of God. Now, someone says, well, I just don't like holier than thou Christians, and I don't either. God's not calling us to be holier than thou. But I did read in the Bible where it said, be ye what? Holy, for I am holy. And Jesus wants His place of worship and His people who worship to be holy. And hence the action to drive out that which was not holy. I wonder if Jesus were to assess your heart today. As a child of God, what is it in your heart or life that He would drive out? Please excuse me for saying this, but what is it in your life that would anger Him?
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio program and teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College. If today's message has been an encouragement and a blessing to you, perhaps consider going online. You can download this message in its entirety, this program in its entirety, and also recent series from Daily in the Word through our podcast or through the website when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I also want to encourage you to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. Let them know about the great Bible teaching and preaching that you're receiving, and they can receive that as well anytime, 24/7 at dailyintheword.org. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially this month. This is an important time of year to consider how God might allow you to impact others with the gospel of Christ. And a great way to do that is through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Your gift of any amount is so important to helping us continue this radio program on this station and others like it all across the country. And this month, when you will partner with us, we want to send you a gift of appreciation. And it's a Christmas CD, a solo piano CD that will encourage your heart, entitled A Quiet Christmas with Christ. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org by clicking on the donate button, or you can call us toll free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. We also love to hear from you by mail. You can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. From all of us here at Daily in the Word and Striving Together Publications, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and the happiest, most blessed, Christ-centered New Year. Before we wrap up today's program, here's Pastor Chappell with a word of greeting.
I want to take this opportunity to wish you and yours a very Merry Christ-centered Christmas. We thank God here at Daily in the Word Radio for His many blessings, but one of the gifts to us is your friendship and your encouragement at this time of year. I trust that as you consider your year-end giving and as you consider the giving of the Christmas season, that you'll remember Daily in the Word Radio. Help us keep this broadcast coming to you year-round. Merry Christmas, and God bless you.
Well, thanks, Pastor, and thank you, friend, for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. I want to remind you, visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a link to the Daily in the Word podcast, and lots of other information. Be sure to check out the information on the Alaska cruise. We're headed to Alaska in August of 2011, and we would love to meet you and fellowship with you during that week on this special adventure. Be sure to consider prayerfully partnering with us financially. Your gift to this ministry on a monthly basis would be so appreciated and would go so far in helping us to continue expanding the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the country through this program. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org. Our toll-free number, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for letting this program minister to you today. And until next time, have a great day.